on the bundle. Turn around and take a flip and make a double. Listen, baby, with me you ain't never gotta struggle. I'm in the game, 650, catch a triple-double. Watch it tumble, tumble, watch it tumble. Tumbling, 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 this is coming in, keep on tumbling. Watch it tumble, tumble, watch it tumble. Tumbling, 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 this is coming in, keep on tumbling. I spit the bag on the bundle. Turn around and take a flip and make a double. Listen, baby, me you ain't never gotta struggle.
All right, and welcome to our episode with Gail Bean on So What, What's Next? With your hosts, Nikki and Sam. We have Gail Bean again. She is an actress, author, and content creator joining us. So welcome, Gail. Thank you so much for joining us today. We want to be able to kind of tap into your artistry and get a better understanding of who you are. So with that being said, we want to go ahead and jump into some this or that questions. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right. Awesome. Let's start with jewelry. So bracelet or necklace?
Necklace.
Let's go lip balm or lipstick?
Lip balm.
McDonald's or Wendy's?
Oh,
McDonald's.
She said that one with confidence. McDonald's. Juice or soda?
Water.
Yeah.
Perfect answer.
Yeah, I'm not really a juice or soda. Wait, juice if I juice it myself.
Okay, natural juices.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. LA or Atlanta?
Atlanta, all day, every day.
Why Atlanta?
I just like it better. The Southern hospitality, the people, my family, like the authenticity, the genuineness. Like, it's very... I have my tribe out here in LA, but the things I love about LA are the weather and the opportunity. That's it. The cost of living is expensive. The people are like blah, gross, yup. yeah, so yeah.
But you're welcome in
it. The racism out here is intense. And they pretend the West Coast pretended they're so like liberal and they're not racist and they like are for all humanity when they're not. I would prefer for a person that's in the South, they're gonna give it to you real. If they racist, yeah. They racist.
Yeah.
They have it. In LA, yeah. They pretend that they're not and then they do like some extreme absurd racist stuff and you're like,
yeah.
What? They actively say nigga out here. Like they needed to breathe. Oh. All ethnicity. And then they'll be like, I'm not racist, I have a black friend. Or they'll do racist stuff, and it's like, bruh, no. Yeah. Not okay.
That's the moderate white guy that I can't stand. I can't stand moderate white people. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah,
okay. I did not know that, but that is definitely eye-opening. I got a couple more for you. Let's go, winter or summer?
Summer.
All right, sunrise or sunset?
Ooh. Ooh, fun. Fun ride.
Okay. Ooh. Now, the question that's near and dear to my heart and same heart as well, UF or FSU?
UF all day. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get y'all my little Garrett.
So I got 6 questions. I'm gonna ask both of y'all these questions. All right.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. Who won, Gucci or Jeezy?
Gucci.
Gucci. Okay.
Definitely Gucci.
All right. I came there for the petty stuff, but it was definitely Gucci.
I'm like, this freaking washing machine is so loud.
LeBron James or Michael Jordan?
You said LeBron or Michael Jordan?
LeBron or Michael.
LeBron.
Okay. I already know where Nikki going with this.
You already know. You already
know. She's going Juanita Jordan, of course.
Juanita Jordan and Stan's Pub.
All right. Since you're on the West Coast, Fat Burger or
Neither.
Oh, okay. I'm more okay with that. Okay, all right. Shrimp Festival or Crawfish Festival?
Ooh, Crawfish.
crawfish. Okay, and my last question is for both of y'all. It's the most important question. I could be the sexiest man alive. Michael B. Jordan or me. I'm good with a pause right now. That's a win. That's a win. Y'all pause. Y'all had to think about that. I'm gonna tell you as a win. Let's start the podcast.
You know what? You're right. Me is the sexiest man alive. Me.
Me. You said me.
You said me. Michael B. Jordan or me. So I said
me. Yeah, me.
I'm taking it as a win. Y'all can stop now. I don't take it as a win. Y'all had to pause and think about that. So I'm good.
No,
I'm telling my son.
Cool.
Telling
take
my son about
win.
That.
Take your win with Jay.
That's right. That's right. I'm telling my son about that when I pick him up from daycare. That's what happened today, son.
That's it. But no, Gail, thank you so much for humoring us. We know that, again, you are in the middle, again, of creating some amazing content, right? We know that you have auditions, you have filming and taping that's happening right now. But our goal here is to kind of get a little bit, you know, more details about you, right? Mm-hmm. So some of these questions that came up from some of the people that we've asked, and I know that we have a couple of questions on our own, but I'll go ahead and kick it off to Sam and get us started so we can learn more about you. And of course, anticipating some of the snowfall questions, we want to get into some of the trailers and tidbits you can, you know, share with us. So Sam, I'll kick it over to you.
So Gail is an accomplished author, a book of poetry about, it's called, I want you to pronounce it for me.
Levon. It's my middle name. It's called Levon.
Oh, okay, okay. So
my father's name is Levonia, so my middle name gave me Levon.
But I also would say this because I did my research last night. Gail is accomplished, but she's not the most accomplished person in her family. Not yet, anyway. Your dad, Stump Mitchell, is an accomplished running backs coach. And he coached Ricky Waters, Sean Alexander, Clinton Portis, David Johnson, Nick Chubb, and Andre Ellington. And I'll have you know, they had their best seasons under your dad.
Thank you. They did.
Mm-hmm. Also,
and he used to play in the NFL.
And he played in the NFL.
Oh,
and
nice. he ran back in the NFL.
And he was a head coach at one time at a black college. I don't forgot the name of the black college. But
Southern University of Baton Rouge.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about that, Gail, growing up with, you know, athletics around and, of course, you know, with the artistry and things that you were involved with from a very young age. Can you kind of give us some color as to what that was like growing up?
Well, it's like because I grew up in the midst of it, like while my dad was playing in the league, like football is in me. Like, I love it. I never played it or like wanted to play it, but I've always loved watching it. Like, I'm the girl that's watching it. I know the lingo. I'm like up yelling, cheering. I'm like, I ain't gonna ask the dudes questions like what just happened, or you know what I'm saying? I like watch it faithfully. I mean, of course, I haven't been really watching as much since the whole Colin Kaepernick thing because I stay on the couch. But I definitely love football, and I cheered for it, of course. I think with growing up in it, it's one of those things where, I don't know if you have kids, Sam, I know you do, but mm-hmm. your child isn't even at the age where you're doing the park and rec. So
right.
our whole schedule, like I have five brothers. Our schedule right. was football games, park and rec games, baseball, track, cheerleading, basketball, softball. So I grew up immersed in sports. And I really loved it. Like, I'm really grateful for it. I think I'm super comfortable around guys because I'm the only girl. I'm the baby. So, and just being around them, being around sports, it's just, to me, it's just like natural, normal. Like, that's my comfort. But I just really loved it. I think also with being at an early age, being around all of that.
I got a couple more family accomplishments. So you also have a cousin that's playing defensive end right now for the Buffalo Bills. Daryl Johnson.
That's your cousin. That's my cousin too.
Yeah, we cousins. We in here. And my last one is
Bam.
And the last one is Booth, who you may not know tonight, was named godfather to my son Chance.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, and it's, I know that don't sound like a big accomplishment, but it's between him and Idris Elba. But I chose Pam because I don't actually know it. That is a huge accomplishment. Yeah, yeah. So that's the last.
The fact that when you decide that somebody's gonna be a godparent, when you take on that role, I mean, if anything happens to that parent,
right?
You take it full responsibility.
Yep, they in there, man. I love them to death, though. So, and that's actually how I got find out about you. So,
you love them to death. I mean, you love him and Idris, or just.
I like the Idris and everything, but I think like the fact that I didn't really know him personally kind of you know, that was a deciding factor. But it was you know, it was close though. You know what I'm saying? I was gonna send a picture to Idris, just sponsor a kid type thing. But yeah, that's the last one. All right, go ahead, Nikki. I'm sorry, I gotta start interrupting this pod.
No, you're fine. So, you know, kind of give us some idea or, you know, some insights as to what got you involved in acting. What, why acting over any other type of, you know, profession?
Okay, let me just say this. If not acting, then criminal defense lawyer.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Tell us about that.
I don't know. I've always loved law. Like, I've always felt like I wanted to help and fight for people who was treated unfairly or who I never believed in people getting life in jail. I never believed in a death penalty. I never believed in like, okay, yes, people do wrong things. When it comes to like criminal stuff, there are a lot of things that's like frowned upon and it's like, okay, you shouldn't do it. You need to learn your lesson. But I don't feel like we as humans are to be the ones to say, okay, this person deserves life. Like, really, I've always truly believed in, like, only God can judge. And it's supposed, there's a natural order of things of how it will be, how it should and is going to be. And who are we to decide that this person deserves life for this? Who are we? Who are these people in the criminal system and the justice system that's set up to not even hold themselves accountable for the crimes that they've done in America to Black people or to allow a society to get like this? Like, even with, like, for example, Snowfall. Nobody's held the people accountable for bringing crack cocaine to the Black folks to even sell it. You see what I'm saying? Like, nobody's held the people who, with the exonerated five from when they see us. That lady, the Lisa lady, like, what about the judge, the jury, the lady who pressed the charges, the officers who did the investigation, who coerced them and forced them to sign these fraudulent confessions? You know, what about the prosecutor who prosecuted them? Where is the justice against them?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, but I feel like they're always so quick to, oh, okay, this person is selling or this person did this or, you know, so we're going to prosecute them to the highest degree. So I've always wanted to be like, in my mind, I was like, I'm going to be the female Johnny Cop.
Right.
And when it came time to like make that deciding factor, once I graduated college, it was, okay, what do you want to do? Like, are you going to go and pursue law or are you going to pursue acting? Like, both of these I'm really passionate about. And I think I was left with the decision, like, I could do law.
Right.
Like, I could do that. Not to diminish anybody who's doing that. But there's some things that you know. Like, you know, some people are really good at sports, like a one sport, and they're like, oh, I could kill at this sport because I'm an athlete. I'm not just a football player. I'm an athlete. I'm a shark. So when it comes to being a lawyer, I knew I could have killed at that. When it comes to education, like I could go kill law school, kill the bar exam, like ace all that. I know I could go into a courtroom and shut it down.
Right.
Like I know when it comes to debating and arguing and proving my case and getting someone off, I could have done that in my sleep. I put the work in for that. I felt like that was going to... Any career a person chooses is going to be challenging, but it'd be fun. I felt like with acting, it doesn't matter how talented I am, how much I study, how much work I put in, I could still not get it. I could still be great enough and not get it. So that to me was more challenging because it's like, okay, you could take way more losses and that don't mean nothing. That don't mean you're not good.
Right.
You could take loss after loss after loss. That doesn't mean you're not good. It just means it wasn't for you.
That's crazy because, you know, you think about law. I think my thing I always want to do, I want to become a teacher. I wish they made more money. I'd be one right now. But the law thing is pretty important because I don't think we've had like this great awakening in America recently for a lot of people. I mean, it's things that my mom taught me growing up that, I mean, I've always known these things, but we didn't know how impactful the decision makers are in our everyday lives. We just think that we're special, but it's like these people have a design for us and we're a cog in this system that just keeps going. And that foundation needs to be kind of broken and put back together by people that look like us and think like us. You know what I'm saying? So I did not know that.
Yeah, that was always something I wanted to do, but I felt like I could have done that. I could have done that and executed it and been amazing. And I just wanted something more challenging for me, which I feel like with acting and writing and producing, no matter how talented you are, no matter how much you execute, the answer could still be no. And I was like, I'm that person that it's like, when somebody tell you can't do it or when it looks impossible, I'm like, nah, I got to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
We love that confidence. Love to hear it.
Mm-hmm, thank you. But it wasn't until, so you asked about like how it came about. It wasn't until I've always loved performing, like where you, mm-hmm. you know, even with like, I used to do co-ed competition cheerleading. You rehearse, you practice, and then you only have one competition. But I love stuff like that where it's like, you risk it all on one, you know what I'm saying? One thing.
The pressure of that.
I've always been attracted to something where you perform. So whether it been, I used to do ballet growing up as a kid. I used to cheer. I played softball. I love that adrenaline rush of like the performance aspect. But when I was a senior in high school at Stevenson, I was taking Dr. Knocker's drama class. And that's when I was like, I love this. Like when I graduate high school, I'm not going to college. I'm going to move to LA and be an actress.
That's what's up.
I said it right there. Senior high school. I mean, of course, my mom's a high school teacher. So she was like, you going to get your education.
Right.
Like, it wasn't, I know some people will start off as like child actors. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I just did the rep. My mom, my parents let me be a kid. So, I mean, of course, everybody put their kids in like something. So I did ballet. Like I said, I did, you know, at your school, you have your school theater programs. I had that. But it wasn't like I feel like the best actors experience life. Like you don't have to, there's some people who turn their nose up. I mean, they don't do it now, but they used to because it was like, before I booked anything, they were just more like, you're an actor, you don't have a theater degree, like you don't do this. And I'm like, no, but I got life experiences. And just because I didn't go to school for a theater and have a theater degree doesn't mean I don't take it serious and I don't study my craft. Like I took classes during and after, like in college, I didn't focus any of that while I was away at school on acting because I felt like I wanted to enjoy the college experience. I was also kind of like upset that I couldn't move to LA. So I was just like, okay, I'm just going to do whatever here. So I got me a business degree in accounting, a bachelor's in accounting. I pledged Delta. I cheered. I enjoyed college. And then whenever I would come home, I would go take acting classes in Atlanta, go take acting classes in New York. Once I graduated, I went to AIU for media film production. Didn't graduate. It was very expensive, but I did go. So, I mean, I really just took it in strides and lived life because I feel like the smartest person in the world, if they don't have no experience, even with like, no matter what your job is, you have to have experience. So if I'm not out here living life, how can I accurately portray it on camera? You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, and that's why they always say most actors come into their prime like when they're like in their 35, 36. That's when they kind of hit their stride because then they've had more life experience now. Exactly. So they have more things they can pull from. So, yeah, that's – you know what's crazy? You was actually named top 10 next generation breakout actor at Sundance in 2015. So
yes, I was. I was surprised. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm up here with people who I watch. Like, I was like,
Right. I think that was after you did the film Unexpected, right? Unexpected. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what Kobe Smolders.
People say so much nice stuff. I'm always like, oh, they're so sweet. I'm like, they don't really mean it. They're just being nice.
Oh, no. I mean, no. I'm humbled.
We praise credentials. We love credentials. I heard you got 2 degrees. We heard that you have your film experience. You have the accolade from Sundance, which is a huge thing. So, you know, we celebrate these things.
Thank you.
And for the record, I credit all Black women for getting Donald Trump out of office. So,
thank you. I think you were. I think you were like, enough is enough.
Yeah, I was like, thank God for Black women. Yes.
We don't let you show up and show out. Hey, you got to sit you down. You over the gym, you're going to be like, getting beside yourself.
Which brings up a good question. What are you going to be doing for Joe Biden's inauguration? How are you going to celebrate?
I don't really think I'm celebrating. I mean, I feel like my voting was celebrating. So it's like, at this point, I ain't celebrating nobody prematurely.
Right.
Like, you do some stuff. Like, I'm happy you're in office, but now I'm like, I ain't from the show me state, but you got to show me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Now he do some stuff, get some stuff passed, be out here about that action, then I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to take me a trip, lay out on the beach in a little bikini, sip me some, take a shot for him, but I'm going to need some action first. Like, I'm not getting no premature roses.
Well, Nikki is like, you know, the top 5 most important person in Georgia, so I know she got to finish the transition team, so she better help with some of that.
Listen, we're doing a cute, you know, cocktails and cupcakes, and we are going to be doing a Zoom inauguration. So
that's what we're doing on this side. Take some pictures in the video.
Say that one more time.
I said, go ahead and take some pictures and some video. Cupcakes and cocktails?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. We are celebrating that there will be a new resident at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And then, you know, hopefully I will earn an invite to, you know, your turn up when the president does something that we can celebrate.
Yes. I just need, like, what you going to do in your first 150, 200? I'll give you 200 days. What you going to do in your first 200 days?
That's
man.
Right. We holding them accountable,
man. So let's talk about Atlanta, Insecure, and Snowfall. I want to talk about Insecure because, and I want to talk about HBO because it seems like HBO give Black creators a lot of space to create. Is that like the one place that all Black creators be like, I got to get HBO. I got to get HBO. Is that like the place right there?
Well, I can't speak for all Black creators, but I can say that I've always been a fan of HBO. And when I write my shows, I'm always like, I want this to be on HBO. I don't know if everybody thinks like that, but I do know, just as a creator, even if you don't get HBO, if you get a network, you're going to be happy. I done got something picked up. It's on TV. But HBO is definitely a goal. It's on my vision board. I will say also what is coming into fruition and like really stepping this game up is Netflix. They're giving Black creators especially a platform. But HBO is great. I like it. I mean, I feel like they know the weight that they have. And it was definitely a great experience working on it.
Yeah. I mean, they're like the Black kingmakers over there, man. I mean, you think about, I was telling somebody, I was like, man, you think about, they started with The Corner and then it went to The Wire. And now we like fast forward now. I mean, they've done other stuff, but fast forward now. I mean, if you haven't watched Watchmen or Lovecraft Country, I mean, those shows, I don't think those shows get made.
I'm in the process of watching Lovecraft Country, but it's good. Like, they don't miss.
Yeah, they. I mean, it's like, and they do these shows that be like, damn, boy, they is really screaming at white people right now. Like,
so what I do appreciate about HBO, they give people the opportunity, they give Black people the opportunities to tell stories other than just this person is Black and their life is bad.
Right.
Lovecraft Country, I don't think another network would have picked that up.
No,
absolutely not.
And nobody's going to show The Watchmen in that. The iteration of that story is not going to be shown that way. Yeah. I mean, I was just like, I got your internet show, and I said, that might be like the most amazing thing I think I've ever watched on television. I mean, because it was just so crazy. I was like, as people was like, I hope they do another season. I said, I don't want another season. Like, that's, leave that alone. Like, that's perfect. Leave that whole show alone. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. But
Let's talk about Issa Rae in Insecure, though. How did that come about?
I auditioned. But I also think it was a thing of manifestation, because before that I was watching, somebody put me on the Misadventures of the Alpha Black Girl. So I was watching it, and I was just, when I heard that it was getting made into a series, I was like manifesting it, speaking it into existence. And right. Then my reps got me an audition for it. I originally auditioned for the role of Molly, which I knew. I was like, okay, just realistic. I'm a realist. I don't, standing next to Issa Rae, I don't look like I would be her best friend. I look like I might be her little cousin. But I went in, I did what it was supposed to do. I got a call back, and I know that they were rooting for me, and it was just to give me the exposure. I knew I wasn't going to book it, which I'm okay with. So then they called me back in for the role of Tasha the Bank Teller. I was like, from reading this description, like, physically, I don't look like how they want this character to look. I'm still going to go in. I'm still going to give my best. Mm-hmm. They liked me. And I think it was more like, okay, we like her. She didn't work out for these roles. We got to figure out where we can fit her in it. So that's mm-hmm. when they brought me in for Rashida. And I just felt like from the moment I walked in, it was destined. It's so crazy. It was such... When I auditioned for Rashida that day, like, my boyfriend, literally, my ex, had broke up with me at like 5 in the morning.
No!
Yeah. And we had been together for like maybe 4 years, 5 years. Like 5 years. It was so crazy. So I get to set, and it was through iMessage. It's, I mean, it's so crazy. It's literally so crazy. But like, now I can look back and be like, you know what? It's life. But I got there. I was like crying all day. Got myself together, went to the audition. I think my audition might have been like, who knows, in the morning. So probably like 11 or 10 or something. Got to, I think it was on Sony Pictures lot at the gate where they let you in. They were like, oh, no, your name's not on here. And see, so much, my heart was so heavy from the breakup that I just started crying. The security guy was like, oh. I got my rose. I was like, they said I'm not on the list. They were like, okay, we'll call you right back. I was crying. The guy was like, you could just go in. he was like, ain't no way she's crying this hard and she's not on the list. She got to be on the list. Right. So he let me in. But it's like, you know how it's already an underlying thing going on? Right. So that was what, I was just like, I can't take nothing else. I'm not in a position to where I can receive any no, any argument, any nothing that's not for me. So I was crying. So I get to my car or whatever. I get to the parking garage, I go in, I park, and then I walk to the thing, I like, got myself together. I had my heels in my hands, so I had on, like, some flip-flops. I think I had my hair, like, wrapped up because I had braids at the time. My stuff was all over. But I was like, you know, I'm going to go in, I'm going to sit in the writing room and get myself together. I opened the door, and everybody, Issa Rae, Prentiss, Melina Matukis, all of them were, and Vicky Thomas, they were out in the waiting room. Like, I guess they were on lunch break or something. So I walk in like a deer in head, like, and I was like, oh, shit! I'm like, what the fuck is everybody doing in the waiting room? So I walk back out, take my skirt back, I try to put my shoes on, my heels on, put my flip-flops in my purse, get my headshot and my resume together, and try to go back in. And then, like, I walk back in and nobody's in there. I'm like, hold on. Like, I'm like, this thing's getting weirder and weirder. Like, so I think they just like loved me from that moment. And then I went in and I killed it. And it was so amazing being a part of something, because, you know, I was season one. Being a part of something in a startup year where everybody's like unsure. Everybody's just trying to do their best. They don't know if they're going to get a season two. They're just like, we want to make something great. So I felt like I was also creating something great with them on the ground level, because even with my character, they weren't really sure where they wanted Rashida to go, how they wanted Rashida to come off. We did a bunch of things. A bunch of things differently, because they were like, okay, now, you're so great. Let's try it this way. Let's try it this way. Oh, what about, so we were creating together, because I also got to put some of my own spin on it and myself say, okay, I'm going to try it this way, or I want to try it this way. Right. And it was just great. Like, it was great. I know they originally, like, they weren't sure, they left it open, because originally my character got fired and they said it. They cut that dialogue because they weren't sure if they was going to bring, they just wanted to keep it where, like, we don't know if we want to bring her back or not. Even with the thing that made it so epic with like the Best Buy shirt at the end with Lawrence leaving and him smashing the bank teller. They weren't even going to put that in this season. They were going to put it for season two. And they were like, we don't know if we're going to get a season two. So let's just put it all in there.
Right.
And then it like kind of blew up on Twitter. And so everything was so amazing being on the ground floor with something like when a show first starts up and seeing it grow and being able to collaborate with the creators and the director at the time.
That's crazy. You jump off the screen in that scene too. Cause that's what I was telling somebody about it. I was like, I wanted more. And another part of it, that situation is funny because I'm the black person at my job that they send to go talk to the other black people.
Yeah, it's so realistic. Literally mirrored life. Everybody was like, oh my God, I'm Rashida, or oh my God, I'm Molly.
Yeah, yeah.
So in your line of work, Gail, tell us, because you basically were code switching, right? You were playing yourself as Rashida, you were playing a character that was, you know, secure in herself, knowing who she was, sticking to, you know, her convictions and being able to be who you are, right? In your everyday life between, you know, auditions and just being in the industry as a whole, how often do you find yourself having to code switch or having to
I'm probably not Rashida in the workplace, but I don't code switch. What I'll do is with me, and this is just with everybody, not like, oh, it's white people around. If I don't know, like, I deal with people, I allow people to see so much of me. So it's like my immediate family, my family, my close friends, they know 100% of Gail. As opposed to some people who I meet, they may only know 50% of me. They only may get me at 50%. So I'm not switching. I'm just not giving them all of me.
Right.
So it's still true to who I am. But you, I don't know you enough or yet to even know if you deserve me at 100%. Because not everybody can take all of me. So it's like, I may give you
10%. Right.
You know what I'm saying? I may not be I'm going to be respectful at every level. But I may not be like super bubbly bright. I'm always going to be bubbly, actually. But I may not like tell you all my business. Or I may not like be asking all of yours or giving advice on all different types of situations, I'm still going to authentically be myself. Like, I'm not going to switch, but I may not give you all of me. Some people give me a 10%. It's like, I'm here for work and we don't got to be friends.
Right.
I'm going to be respectful. Let's just get the job done. I don't got to talk to you and tell you certain things. Like, let's just be here, get our work done and dip. Like, you've had people where when you're in school, they may be your friend in that classroom. But you don't hang out with them outside of that class. So, I mean, I feel like that's how I operate just in the world, period.
Okay. Makes sense.
So, what about, let's go to Atlanta. Love that show. And I know you're from Atlanta, so I guess that was another one of those, like, manifestations, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, tell me about that show. How you get on that show?
Again, I auditioned. This is my second time auditioning for Atlanta because I had originally auditioned for one role. I didn't book it. And then it came back around.
Right.
So I was just really grateful because it was my first professional project in Atlanta, television, film. So it was very dear to my heart. And it was for the city. It's my favorite show on TV.
Yeah.
I auditioned, self-tape. And this is another thing I tell people, how you are. Like, you have to be, your reputation is very important. So how you are on set or just in any space, you got to be pleasant to be around.
Right.
My director from Unexpected actually happened to be really good friends with the director from Atlanta, the one who directed our episode.
Right, right.
She hit kind of Chris Swanberg, the director from the episode of Amy Seismic. Chris hit me up after my audition and was like, hey, I recommended you for a role in Atlanta. My friend is the director. She said your audition was the only one she liked. She loved. Don't say nothing. Now, immediately, I'm going to say, okay, cool, I'm not going to say nothing. But immediately, I screenshot that and send it to my manager. Like, yo, check up on it. Like, sorry. So, that is because, too, it's just like, I feel like a lot of my work comes from, yes, I auditioned, and if they feel I'm good, great, I'm happy. But for the most part, it's like, okay, this person came recommended by someone I trust. This person will be pleasant to be around. This person is going to deliver. They're not going to bring no bad vibes to the set, like whatever, whatever. So that came about from just auditioning and then getting that recommendation from Chris. But I guess Amy asked Chris about me because they see your resume. She saw it was an unexpected. And the rest is history. All God.
Mm, that's crazy.
And that's why I say, too, with Chris, you got to, when I book a project, it's not always about the money. It's about the currency, but currency is not always monetary because unexpected was not a big payout, but it was a big payout. You see what I'm saying? Right. Because it gave me exposure. It went to Sundance. It gave me the Hollywood Reporter. I got my manager from that. I got Atlanta from that. I have, you know, a lifelong relationship from that. And they are amazing over there. Like, they deserve all the awards because they are amazing, both on camera and behind camera. Like, their energy, their vibes, like, their creativity. They're not bougie. They're not like, oh, I'm confused. They're not, they're just good people. And so they really do deserve all of their wins.
They are like, that is one of the most, in my opinion, one of the most talented casts on TV. It's like, especially talking about young, up-and-coming, black creators to me. I mean, they are like, there's some really good talent on that show. Like, crazy talent on that show.
I agree. Whole ensemble.
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah, they're crazy.
Yeah, if you're right. Yeah, we want to kind of get into your current projects, right? Of course, everyone is anticipating the return of Snowfall. And I'll be perfectly honest. I'll tell you that, you know, from doing my research and seeing when the show first came out, I was not watching it initially. You know, I'm a big John Singleton fan. So, you know, at first I was like, you know, I'm spoiled because I like to binge watch things, right? I don't want to have to wait every episode. So I was kind of late to the Snowfall train.
Once
I got on board, I was like, oh my God, this is the best show ever. Like, you know, I was able to binge watch all of season one. And then even, you know, in the midst of John Singleton passing, God bless the dead, you know, I'm wondering, like, who's going to, you know, carry on the show? This was his baby. This was what he created. And who's going to be in the writing room? And how does all this continue to stay together? And thankfully, you guys have not missed a beat. Like, you know, I think he would ultimately be proud of the product and the content that you guys are putting out. And Damson Idris just posted the trailer. I think a lot of you guys just posted the trailer on social media. And you guys aren't even finished filming the season. Like, we are.
We haven't finished filming the season. It's almost done. I think we're on our. We might be on our last. We'll finish before the new year. That's for sure.
Okay. So, you know, we're all excited. We're all salivating. We're trying to understand where we're going in this new season because you guys have literally raised the bar. And, you know, now I find myself every week, like, watching. I can't binge it anymore in one sitting. I want to watch every week. I need to see what Franklin's going to do. I need to see how all these things are going to turn out. I need to know how all this is going. There's so many things and so many ways that the characters have developed and evolved. So, you know, from your point of view, kind of give us some insights as to, you know, your experience from season one to where you guys are now.
Oh, wow. My character has evolved so much. Well, I started in season two, but season one, just watching everyone and everything that's going on, they've literally grown. Like, before we started back shooting after quarantine, I watched the whole thing because I was like, I don't even know where we at in the world, in the Snowfall universe. So let me refresh. And it's so crazy just seeing all of the characters grow and turn and have their own individual arcs. And it's like, they execute them so well. Like, where not that many of the cast members are actually from LA. So, like, Eamon, the uncle's from New York. Damson, you know, is from London. Ivy, where's Ivy from? His name is Alone. I can't remember where Alone is from. You know, I'm from Atlanta, Isaiah's from Atlanta. So it's so crazy how dedicated everybody was to just immersing themselves in the LA 80s culture and being able to drop in. But it's like, how you've seen arcs and people change and people come and people go and people die. Mm-hmm. Season 4 is 10 times way more than what you got from 1 through 3. Like, right. Everything you thought you could expect people to do the unexpected. I tell people all the time, I'm like, season 4 is like, you know how, okay, we saw a world when stuff happened when Melanie got on crack or when Wanda was on crack. Season 4 is going to put the audience on crack. Like, you don't think you're on crack. There's so much stuff happening where it's like, what?
Yeah.
And it's real.
You know what's crazy?
This is how the world went.
Right.
In Snowfall season 4, you're going to grow everybody growing up quick.
Yeah.
Like, the audience going to grow up quick. And it's just so crazy because it's like, this is reality.
Even the
what happened and what the crack cocaine epidemic did to the communities and to people, and you'll see, like, it'll with gang involvement, with like just everything, you'll see how living that life can turn people against one another. It can break up families, it can break up friendships, it can take away loved ones. Like,
right.
It's going to be really, really good. I think you guys will not be disappointed. I'm excited. This is what y'all been waiting on.
Yeah. I had a question. Well, not a question, more of a statement about Wanda, the character Wanda. As I watched it, I watched season 2 and season 3 twice. I watched both of those twice. And Wanda seems to be, because everybody in the show actually has an addiction in the show. Everybody on the show has an addiction. And Wanda is just what's outside of her. What she shows is really what's inside of everybody else. Because she is a nice person. Just like Franklin is. Franklin's a nice person, but he's addicted to success, making money, you know, never needing anybody. And then even Teddy, the CIA guy, he want to prove to everybody that he can do this. He's important and everything. And I just like, with Wanda, I was just like, a lot of people don't think about addiction. They think about addiction the way Wanda is. But the whole show, everybody has this big addiction that's going on. And they're trying to fight that addiction to be who they were in the first season. Because even when my favorite episode, to be honest with you, and I'm not even saying this because you're on the podcast, is the one with you and Melody going to the skating rink and all that together. Because I liked it, that whole, we want to be innocent. Like, we want to be innocent. But at the end of the day, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. And I will catch up with you when I'm done being about this.
I agree with every. That's a great way to comprehend it, to comprehend the characters, because you're right. Like, everybody is fighting an addiction and everybody is trying to be who they are, fine, or they were before crack. It's like in season 4, I think you'll realize that everybody has reached a point of no return. In season 4, everybody reaches the point of no return.
Right.
So it's like, we're here now. I think season 4, it sits in and they realize, like, we're not.
Right.
So we either embrace who we have become, or, like, destroy everything trying to fight back for who we were, but we'll never get there.
That's crazy. Nikki, you want to piggyback off of that?
Yeah, so one of the things that we want to ask you is, you know, I think all of us, especially African Americans, we all have an experience with a family member that may have some sort of, you know, mental health issue, or some had some form of addiction and they may be struggling still to this day. Is there an opportunity where, you know, during this process, you know, even as a method actor, are you working with people who may have certain afflictions? Are you using, again, your experiences even growing up and even now, people who may have substance abuse issues? Like, how are you channeling the energy of the character of Wanda?
So I do have family members that struggle with addiction. I do have family members that took losses to addiction and drugs. And just, it's not even just really, I mean, there is that addiction, but there's also that abandonment that Wanda feels. There's also that resentment
So I've been able to channel life experiences, and also I, here in LA, I volunteer on Skid Row every Wednesday where I go feed the homeless when I'm not working. I'm from 12 to 2. So I also see it firsthand. I've seen it firsthand, and then I still see it like where it's a person, how it may look to a person who doesn't know someone, or who, you know what I'm saying, I know how Wanda may look to others. Mm-hmm. I also, like I said, because I have family members, the challenge with this was, I've never known anybody before Network 20. Because all my family members that may be addicts, have been addicts, I didn't know, I was too young, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I didn't know them, I've always known them as an addict. So that's why coming in and watching Snowfall in season 3, and always knowing Wanda as the rest. You know what I'm saying? So it was nice to be able to see the shift and be able to give one that humanity. You know, like,
right.
Reasons, like, how people that are messing up or on drugs, people know them more than I see why they have that hold and they keep trying and they don't give up, because they know them. They know that there is more to than just drugs and the addiction.
Right. There's a side of humanity to the everybody that has an addiction like that, right? And
yeah, it's difficult
when all you know is the person that is the drug addict. When right. You don't know them before that. I watched a few documentaries, Jay is for Junkie. I watched a couple YouTube videos. I didn't watch any movies where it was like actors playing drug dealers. I only watched like the real, realistic, authentic, genuine addicts, because I didn't want to embody how another person played a crack addict, or, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I made sure everything, for all of my research, for all of my preparation, it was always the real life of it, in regards to what I've seen, what I've experienced, what I know, you know?
Right. How hard is it, though, to, I guess, to, because I know you have to get into a mental place. How hard is that to find that place? Because I was reading, what is that book called? The Wire, the book about The Wire. What is that book called? Oh, All the Pieces Matter. I was reading All the Pieces Matter and The Wire, and the guy that plays Bubbles, Andre Royal, was talking about getting into character to play Bubbles, that he would go into some really dark places, and he was like really close to actually doing heroin at one time. He said he was glad he didn't do it. But how hard is it to get into that mind frame, though?
I think it's different for different people.
Right.
The way I was trained is a very nurturing environment of how to go into something and self-care yourself out of it. So for me, I don't have that artistic abuse
right.
on myself.
Right.
Like, I have different exercises and different methods that will drop me into it or into a character, to where even once out of it, I can psychologically heal myself, nurture myself to where, you know, I'm not so deep in it and I'm not emotionally destroyed and there's not no backlash.
Right.
So, like,
right.
with me, it's different things with Wanda. Like, the day that I'm filming, I'm not putting on it's different little things you can do to get it. I'm not putting on no deodorant. I'm not putting on no lotion. Like,
right.
I'm going to shower the day before.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that day, I ain't showering.
Right.
That the hair, the makeup, that also puts into it, it's certain things where that I'll do where it's like, okay, this is this character. So let me put some specificity and some physicalities to it that will help me easier drop in. To get me there mentally, it may be different things that I will do, but it wasn't anything that I couldn't come out of. I don't feel the need to go try drugs or do certain things because I don't judge my character to a point where I feel I'm any different than them, to where I gotta go, I can't relate to a person that did drugs because I didn't experience it. Because my imagination is so strong.
Right.
My sensitivity to things and people, I can easily take that on. So I don't need to. I feel like it's, you know how some people where they don't have to experience the trouble to know to stay out of damn trouble. Like,
right.
If one person get into some trouble for something, like if you got a brother and you seen your brother get beat, you're like, you know what? I got it. I get it. So for me, I've never felt the need to actually like go experience some stuff. To me, if you do the research, if you do enough research, if you watch enough stuff, you're immersed in it. For me.
Right.
If you be around it enough, like, it's like when people smoke. You don't gotta hit the blunt to get high. You can be in the car around someone, and you're like, woo. For me, contact works. Like, I don't need to. To me, contact is seeing it, feeding it, putting it into my mind, into my body, watching it, which that really is, psychologically, that works, honestly, for everybody. We just don't know, because we contact ourselves with stuff every day through social media.
Yeah, we do.
It affects us. We contact our stuff with the things we watch, the things we read, you know, the things we take into our bodies. But I don't necessarily have to get the actual ingestion of it from a tangible standpoint. From a psychological standpoint, from a mental standpoint, from an emotional standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint. Because like I said, one don't crack. With addiction, I love chocolate.
Right.
I know what it's like to crave something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I know what it's like to be able to taste that, taste it.
Right.
Like, at one point, I used to drink a lot. I mean, I like drinking. So when I didn't drink for like maybe a year, I could smell the alcohol and tell you exactly what alcohol it was.
Yeah, I get like that too.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't think you necessarily have to do it. You just have to understand how it's no different from another thing.
Right.
Now, at the end of the day, addiction is addiction. Whether it's sex, whether it's drugs, whether it's boys, whether it's candy. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's eating food.
Social media.
Like, my 600-pound life. I just seen this lady the other day. She bust her sleeve open twice. They got to do it a third time.
Wow.
She's addicted to eating food. So it's no different. You have people. They see you hurt, you hurting your friends and family. They want you to get better. It's no different. So for me, with my acting and any character, it's just about simply understanding how they're no different from me or something that I may already have in my life. Or something that I've witnessed or seen, being able to connect those dots.
And I like how they evolve Wanda, because at first she's already an addict before she even does the first crack, before she do crack at all. She's already at it, because you can see that she really, and they show this like, and it's perfect how they show this, because a lot of people, when they go into drugs or alcohol abuse, it's because they want to be in a crowd, they want to be in a group, they want to be a part of something.
Well, Wanda like to have a good time.
Yeah.
So she's addicted to that high of a good time.
Right.
That high of fun, whether it's the group, whether it's partying, whether it's dancing, whether it's drugs, whether it's just being with someone and having a good time. She liked that.
Right.
And it's like, the beautiful thing about season 4 is, as Wanda has another huge, amazing, major character arc, like you said, it's the addiction.
Right.
The addiction is one thing. Wanda always gonna be Wanda.
Right.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And it's just so, it's so beautiful. And I'm so blessed to be able to play a character that has so many arcs.
Okay, well, let's get to the last. I guess be close to the last. We're getting ready to wrap, but I don't want to hold you too long. Because I need you to go out there and win an Oscar, some Emmy, things like that.
You need to get all those noms.
All those sags, all of it. All that. Top 5 addicts on television or a movie. Damn. Like, I got mine. I know who they are, but do y'all have any?
Top 5 addicts.
So Pookie from New Jack City.
I agree.
We got to start there. Pay homage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, I would go Bubbles number one. Bubbles number one for me, because Bubble is such a realistic act to me. Because I have two uncles that are crackheads, drug addicts.
Bubbles would be my number one.
Because he is so realistic, because like, Bubbles is a good person. Then he's a productive person and he's a very useful person. And when people think of crackheads in their mind, they think of an unproductive, lazy, sorry person. And that's not what they are. So he is like, to me, he is like the number one drug addict of
what
all time.
Would he be my number one? I honestly would say my number two would be, and I got to make sure, because I can't remember, it's been so long, but it's one of my favorite movies. Halle Berry and Losing Isaiah. Wasn't she on drugs?
Yes, she was. Yes, she was.
My number two would be Halle Berry and Losing Isaiah.
I got her on my list too. She's my number three.
We got to shout out Gator. We got to shout out
Gator. Gator's number two for me.
What
Gator's
is that, Jungle Fever?
Yeah.
Yes. He's phenomenal. Jesus.
And something that's crazy, Samuel Jackson actually was on drugs doing that character. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy. He was on drugs. I remember he said that when Spike gave him a call.
He was on drugs before he became an actor. He was already on the drugs.
Yeah, he was on drugs hard. He said that between takes, he would go do drugs and come back. Oh, wow. I was like, wow. And I mean,
your craft.
He was way into. Well, you know, he was on it. Spike was trying to save his life by, you know, putting him in movies to try to, you know, but, you know, eventually he did kick his addiction. So that's good.
And I think that proves your point, right? Because Samuel Jackson comes from a thespian background, right? So he's productive. He's functioning. He kind of debunks the myth of, you know, the delinquent and, you know, lazy person and things of that nature. He just thankfully was able to overcome his addiction like so many others. But that character there was my first introduction cinematically to someone with addiction.
Yeah,
I would say this ain't crack, but it's just, I thought it was just great. Al Pacino in Scarface.
I guess we can wrap on this last one. Nick, you got a question?
No, I just have a statement before we wrap.
Okay,
go ahead, I'll give it to you.
This is my last question. Mm-hmm. Have you ever met Viola Davis or been in the room with Viola Davis? And if you have, is there like an orange glow, like an aura that when you see her, have you heard about that?
So I'm going to say this. I was working in 2017 or 2016. I was working at the airline.
Uh-huh.
And checking people in. And she came down my first class line. And I didn't get to, like, meet her. She was there.
Right.
But we didn't really communicate any because, someone, you know, sometimes at that level, you have other people speak for you. So.
Right.
But her energy is very strong.
Her energy is very strong.
And it wasn't a rude, her not speaking, it wasn't rude. It was just like, she really, I don't know how many flights she had today. I don't know what she had to do that day. But it was like, okay, this lady's busy. Mm-hmm. She got to get on this flight. And she just looked like, and then, you know, traveling with kids. I think she had a child with her.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, woo, another flight. I wish I could just, I know the feeling. I think she was at that moment where it was like, you wish you could just snap and be there.
Right.
I've never, like, met her.
Okay. But does she, like, drop, like, black girl magic on the floor when she walks by and shit? Like, black girl magic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's someone there to throw it before her, so she's coming. You know how in Coming to America, they threw the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's, like, glitter, like, and then someone playing the trumpet's like, black girl magic.
I see it.
She's beautiful, though. Yeah, no makeup on, no nothing, just looking gorgeous.
Yeah, she's a pioneer. All right, Nikki, you can statement us out
before
of here.
Before I go, I just want to say this too. The best person I ever met, we just person two. It's two of them. Niecy Nash and Tiffany Haddish. The most brightest, beautiful, most amazing celebrities that I ever met. Best energy, like black girl magic on 1,000, welcoming, loving.
Mm.
The way they treat you is like, they ain't never had nothing going on in life. Like, today is their first day on the world, and they are innocent and sweet and don't know no pains of the world, and they just want to love you.
Wow. Tiffany Haddish and Niecy Nash, right? Okay. That's mm-hmm. yeah, that's crazy. Niecy Nash, man, she's very talented. Dude, she put me in tears and when they see us.
Amazing. Yeah.
She put me in tears and when they see us, man. When she grabbed her son,
I'm so happy for her.
Oh yeah, man, she is awesome.
Too. Like if I ever see her, I just want to give her a hug. Like I just feel like there's an abundance of warmth and love in her bosom, and I just want to be.
It's definitely that.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. Yeah, Niecy Nash. I didn't even think about her. I'm talking about all these black women as actresses, but man, yeah, she is. She's up there. She's up there. Definitely up there.
Absolutely. But Gail, we want to again sincerely thank you so much for connecting with Sam and myself. I mean, I've learned so much. I was excited about this once, you know, Sam told me he was able to connect with you. And I actually just found out we have a mutual connection too here in Atlanta. We have a mutual friend, Mike Williams.
The Kappa?
Yeah, the Kappa.
Yeah, Mike Will. Okay.
Yes, no chill, Mike Will. So he told me you were good people too. So I was like, man, like I told him I was excited to talk to you. And this has been, you know, a pleasure because ultimately, you know, you're just what I anticipated, right? You're very welcoming. And I just want to thank you for being real. I want to thank you for loving Atlanta, loving your hometown. And hopefully at some point, Sam and I could convert you to being Seminoles versus, you know, pledging your allegiance to the SEC. We got to win you over some shape, form, or fashion. So,
if I do a film or a TV show and instead of Seminoles, and they give me an Oscar or Emmy or Tony or something, I will denounce everybody else.
That's my Christmas present from you. I take it.
So we need Barry Jenkins to get on the job. That's what we need. We need Barry Jenkins to get on the job. That's what we need. That's what we got to have happen. That's the next one, Nikki. Getting Barry Jenkins on the job. But thank you, Gail. I really appreciate you. It's crazy. It was crazy just the way all this happened because I was kind of blown away. You're like, yeah, we're going to do the podcast. I'm like, dang, I thought she was just saying that on Twitter just to be funny. Like, okay. So I was really surprised you hit me up. You were like, we're gonna do it. I was like, oh, she's serious. Okay, yeah, we can do it. So, and it's a perfect. This podcast is a perfect space for that. You know, so I'm really appreciative and humbled by it. So, thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm blessed that y'all asked and y'all invited me on here. It was great talking to the both of you. You both are amazing, and you are persistent because I know there's so many times I was like, I'm not gonna respond. Because I knew, I was like, darn it, I knew I didn't have the time and I didn't want to say, like, I think I had said yes before and then we didn't get around to it. So then I felt bad and I was like,
oh no, you shouldn't have felt bad because I mean, me and Nikki work a lot too. Like I say, Nikki's working on the transition team and I work a lot at all. And so it wasn't a big deal. You know, we were just going to slide it in when we could. So it wasn't like, I wasn't going to make you feel bad about it.
You've been so amazing and so understanding. So I'm so, so, so appreciative. I was like, he gonna hate me. This time is terrible.
No, I owe the Johnsons.
Two quick things for you, Gail. We want to know, and we'll probably edit this or splice this, but we want to know what upcoming projects that you have that we need to be on the lookout for. And if you could also share your social media handles.
My Instagram is Insta_B3AN @Insta_Bean. My Twitter is Gail_Bean. My Facebook is @ActressGailBean. That's really it. Let's see. I have Snowfall coming up. Season 4 will air in spring 2021. And that's all I can speak on right now. Oh, I do have Hurt Village. I don't know if this will air before or not. Hurt Village, I did a virtual play reading of Katori Hall's Hurt Village. She's an amazing playwright. She has a lot of theater scripts, but she also has a lot of, she also has P-Valley on TV right now. And I'm very excited to have worked with her. She brought Next to Third, directed it. We did a virtual play reading. It is on castblacktalent.org. Our next reading show run will be December 11th. And the tickets are free. Donations go to actorsfund.org. To the Actors Fund for Black Actors. So that's coming up and everything else I can't tell y'all about yet. I gotta wait. It's an official announcement coming soon, though.
Okay. You know, I'm gonna be on the lookout. Most definitely. So I am appreciative and don't feel bad. You didn't have to feel bad because I was like, you know, I mean, you're big time. So I was like, I know she's busy and working actors are working actors. They got to go at the drop of a dime. So I wasn't going to hate you. I promise you. And I owe the Johnsons everything. They be getting chance on the weekend and he think he live down there sometimes. Like he's out of control. Yeah. He think that's his other family and stuff. He come to their cabinets and everything. So it's crazy.
Well, thank y'all. Y'all have a beautiful, what's today? Thursday.
Thank you for listening in to So What? What's Next? See you next week.